Tanzania and other countries around the region, there has been a significant number of attacks that have been reported where persons with albinism have been targeted, in many instances murdered for their body parts. You have instances where children have been abducted from their own homes, sometimes with the connivance of their parents, and their body parts are being mutilated for the purposes of these root cause. The second part of our case is also with regards to the kind of stigma and discrimination that persons with albinism face in Tanzania. Because of these superstitious beliefs, persons with albinism happen to be one of the most marginalized members of the society and are often ostracized, discriminated against. They're spoken about in very unkind terms. Some people even refer to them as walking cows or walking money in regard of this idea that you can make money out of your body part.
I've come across several articles about this issue, not only in Tanzania, but in other Southern African countries. What is the involvement of the Tanzanian government in your case? What would you like for the Tanzanian government to do about this?
Our case against the government is the lack of security. That the government, being the one that is in charge of the territory, has an obligation to ensure that everyone who lives is secure and is not scared for their own safety, to the extent that they cannot leave their own homes because there is a potential that they are being attacked. And the reason why we blame the government in this regard is because, as we heard from testimony in court, the government has records of at least 74 cases of murders that have been committed against persons with albinism. And yet, they have only been able to secure 17 convictions out of those 74 murders, which in our estimation marks a significant neglect in conducting proper investigations to actually find the perpetrators of these crimes, to ensure that they are prosecuted, and where the evidence supports, convicted, to deter other people from engaging in this kind of heinous crimes.
The government might argue that you are doing the right thing by going to the courts, because as a government, it cannot interfere with the courts.
Well, there are two levels of court here. The court that we went to is the regional court, which is supposed to provide some kind of guidance to African states on their human rights obligations. But at a domestic level, the state has the power of prosecution, and the court can only convict to the extent that you bring credible evidence and you pursue prosecutions diligently before them. So if you are only able to secure 20% or so of convictions, the only reasonable deduction a person can make out of that situation is that you are actually not seriously investigating these cases. Or even when you investigate them, you're not putting enough resources and individuals who have the knowledge and expertise to prosecute these cases successfully, and therefore you are failing the victims. So the government certainly does have an obligation to ensure that there's proper prosecution and conviction. But even apart from the prosecution and conviction, they have the obligation to ensure that there's compensation to the victims for the pain and suffering. And according to the government's own admissions, the cases that they were able to secure convictions, they never asked any of the courts to compensate the victims. That in the instances where they could actually ask for compensation, they never asked for the perpetrators to compensate them. Because the perpetrators are doing this harm to the victims because they are looking for money. They're selling the body parts for money.
Is this an action in futility on your part? Because some may argue that the African Court on Human and People's Rights, like other regional courts around Africa, lack the muscle to enforce its own judgment.
That may well be true, and that would well be true about every international court. The International Court of Justice, for instance, lacks muscle to enforce its own decisions. And yet South Africa is in court against Israel on behalf of the Palestinian people. Because as human rights lawyers, we don't only go to court because we think a court has muscle. We go to court because we also want to raise awareness about the issue. So it's not only about whether the court has muscle or not. It is also about a recognition that harm is being committed and that someone needs to recognize and to let the government know that they are failing the obligation to protect their own citizens.